We're looking at 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, and we're, again, this is more of a topical type message as we continue to look at Jesus Christ. And we've been preaching much about Christ, and we'll do that again this afternoon. Look at verse 6, 1 John 2, 6. He that saith, he abideth in him, ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. He that saith, he abideth in him, ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Scriptures. And Father, we need your Holy Spirit once again, as we prayed last night, to take the message and empower it. There is nothing in me of any power. Lord, I pray that I would not be in the way of what you want to do. You'd empty me of self, fill me with your Spirit, fill every listener with your Spirit. That, Lord, we would, as we consider the character of your Son, Jesus Christ, and be reminded and challenged about it, that we would have a hunger to walk as he walked. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to speak to you this afternoon for a little while on the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. The character of Jesus Christ. Let's think about the word character. The word character is from the Greek, and it literally means to make an engraving mark. To make an engraving mark. The letters of the alphabet, what do we call them? We call them characters. They are marks made with an engraving tool. Character, something that refers to an engraving mark. That's when we think of character about a person, an individual, myself and you included, we are saying that there are marks that distinguish them from someone else. Now, I'm not talking about physical characteristics. We all look different. Amen? Praise God, not everybody looks like me. And praise God, everybody doesn't look like you. Amen? You can elbow your family member nearby and pat them on the back and encourage them. I'm sure glad everybody doesn't look like you. No, that's not the idea. Say that about yourself. These are not physical, okay? But these character traits could be moral, they could be spiritual, they could be emotional. These are character traits. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to look at the character, some of the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. And within these characters, these are distinguishing marks, if you will, that we, when we think of the Lord Jesus Christ, we come to these things. How do we come to these things? Because we're going to see as we go through the Bible, have your Bible ready. Because we're going to look at various passages of Scripture as we try to consider each of these. And the goal is this, I'll tell you right up front. The goal is this, that you and I would recognize anew and afresh these character traits that are in the Lord Jesus Christ and seek to bring them into our own life as well. It isn't just to say, okay, well, here's the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't be that. But John said here that if we abide in him, that we also should walk even as he walked. Okay? So when we learn about Christ, it isn't just to have a bunch of knowledge and information. It's so that we can incorporate it into our life and then begin to walk as he walked. So let's take a look at these. Number one, let's go to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Number one, Jesus Christ is holy. Jesus Christ is holy. Look at John chapter number 14, and the Bible here, we'll look at that in just a minute. The word holy means separated to a specific purpose. It means set aside or set apart to service for God. It means spiritually pure. Now, we as Christians today, we are not holy in our practice, but we are holy in our position. What is the difference? Okay? In our position as Christians, we are in who? We are in Christ. and Christ is in us. And so we have the robe of righteousness in our life, in on us, so that we are not holy in our I said position. Did I say it right? Yeah. In our practice, because we're still sinners. We still sin. Now Christ is holy in his practice as well. He does everything right. He does everything that his Father wanted him to do. So we're not saying that we can be holy like him in practice, but we are holy in position. Let's look at this. Look at verse number 30 of John chapter 14. Jesus is speaking here. He says, "Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh." Who is the prince of this world? That's the enemy, all right? Satan. But notice what Jesus says, "and hath nothing in me." Jesus says Satan is the prince and ruler of this world. However, he has nothing in me. He is completely holy. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:15, he is yet without sin. And so Jesus said, he has nothing in me. He has no control over me. Now again, as a follower of Jesus Christ, we have the Holy Spirit of God indwelling us. Praise God for that. We have the opportunity when Satan tries to tempt us, when Satan tries to take advantage of us, when Satan tries to have to get a to have place in our life. We're not supposed to give place to the devil. But whenever he does, we have the opportunity with the power of the Holy Spirit of God, having yielded ourselves and being filled with the Holy Spirit of God, to resist the temptation, to resist the lust of the flesh, to resist the pride of life, to resist the lust of the eyes. And the Bible says when we resist the devil, he flees from us. And Jesus said he has no part in me. Do you see that? He has nothing in me. Everything about the Lord Jesus Christ, from the bottom of his feet to the top of his head, was pure. It was holy. He is holy. He is the Son of God. As followers of Jesus Christ, we cannot claim holiness in practice, but we can in position. The word holy also conveys an idea of singleness, meaning pure without mixture. Pure without mixture. Go to Hebrews chapter number 7. The character of Jesus Christ. He is holy. We can be holy. Be holy, for I am holy, the Bible says. We can be holy in our position. We can say no to the devil. Hebrews chapter number 7. Hebrews chapter number 7. The Bible says there, if I can find it. Hebrews 7 and verse 26. It says, "For such an high priest became us, who is," what's the next word? "Holy." Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens. This is the character of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is holy. I want to make this statement. I want and desire to live holy, just like Christ is holy. Now, can I do that every day? Can I do that 100%? No. It's impossible. But if we don't seek God's help in living, what does holy mean? Remember, it means separate. Separate. So in a sense, our lives can mirror the life of Christ. We can live separate. Separate from what? Separate from the world. Separate from the ideology of the world. Separate from the direction that the world is going. And the world is going completely opposite of the direction of the scriptures and the word and the will of God for your life and my life. And so in a sense, with the Lord's help, we can live holy lives. We can be in it but not of it. We can be a light in a dark world. We can be salt in this world in which we live. We can be a lighthouse for those that are in darkness, headed for a Christless eternity. And what does that? What brings them to Christ? It is a life, an example of change that God has brought into our life. We don't live like the world to win the world. We don't talk like the world to win the world. No, we want to live holy, separate lives. That's the salt. That's the light that is needed. So character trait number one is Jesus Christ is holy. Number two, turn to John 15. John 15. I want you to consider your life right now. You know, your life and my life. We have a public life and we have a private life. By the way, there's nothing wrong with saying it like that. You don't act as you do in public like you might in private when you're home, and we say, you know, we take our shoes off and we're comfortable. Nothing wrong with that. But when we say a public and a private life, and we can also take that, though, and think, okay, what might there be that we are doing in private that we would never do in public because we wouldn't want anybody to know about it? That's when it's a problem. But here's the thought. Remember, there is no public and private life with God. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro. There is no private life. Wherever you go, church member, wherever you go, sir, wherever you go, ma'am, whatever website you surf, whatever thing you're on your mobile device, whatever new movie you're watching, whatever music you're listening to, it's not private to the Lord. He knows all about it. I want us to take inventory of anything and everything that we're allowing into our life. Can we say that it's holy? Can we say that it's helping separate us from the world unto Christ? Remember, it's just not being separate from the world. It's separate from the world unto Christ. You've got to have the unto Christ in there. To Christ, right? Because when we take something out, there is a void there that only Jesus Christ can fulfill. Oh, the world is trying to fill the void with everything, but it's never going to be satisfied. The life of sin and unholiness is never satisfied. Oh, but when we come to Christ and seek to be holy and set apart and following the ways of, and that's not holier than thou, by the way, but we seek to have a clean life and a pure life and honoring life to Him, there is great satisfaction in that because it's all about Christ. I wonder, is your private life holy or not? Remember, it's only private to those who can't see, but it doesn't include God because He sees it all. I think we need to really do some soul searching. We don't have to search very far. Most of us know areas of our life right away that are not pleasing to the Lord. They would definitely not be considered holy. Let's let the Holy Spirit of God convict us. Let's repent of that. Let's get back on the track of being holy, separate from the world unto Christ. The second one is in John 15. We'll look at several passages of Scripture. John 15. The second character trait that we'll look at of Jesus Christ is love. Jesus Christ is love. Verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Verse 12, this is my commandment that ye love one another. Did you notice the word after the word my? Could we say it together? Ready? One, two, three. Commandment. Now, you know, I hope you understand that that is not another word for suggestion. That's opposite, right? Commandment. Jesus Christ tells us tonight, this afternoon, on this 13th day of December, that we are to try, with God's help, we're to take this character trait, this level of love that only Christ has, but we can have part of it in our life, and we'll continue to develop this, just stay with me, but we are commanded to love one another. The only way we have this is because of the character trait that Jesus Christ wants to give us. Remember what it says in Romans 5:8. It says, but God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He laid down His life. He laid down His life for us. This is a level of love that is without cause. Follow me for just a moment here. Stay with me. It's without cause. In other words, you and I did nothing, absolutely nothing. Big old zero, maybe with the ring rubbed out. We did nothing to cause Christ to love us. Remember, we looked at it recently. We love Him, 1 John 4:19. We love Him because He first loved us. He didn't love us because of any cause. In other words, there wasn't anything that we did that brought about the love that God has for us. We could even say it like this. Jesus Christ's love is organic. It's just there. There isn't any cause to it. He is love. God is love. 1 John 4:8. He is love. Turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5, where our love, many times is based on cause. His love is uncaused. Okay? Nothing about me says I deserve to be loved by God. Why? Because I'm a sinner. Because I'm unholy. Because even in my righteousness, the Bible says, it's a filthy rag. But because God is love, His love is given to me because of who Jesus Christ is, His character trait. It is etched in Him. He's holy. He's love. Look at Ephesians 5 and verse number 2. The Bible says, and walk in... Okay, let's go up to verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. As dear children. I remember following my dad around the yard with a little plastic lawnmower. Did any of you ever do that? I remember my dad mowing the lawn. I can see it. And me with my little plastic lawnmower driving beside him. I was following. I was like a child. Was I cutting any grass? No. Those plastic mowers didn't cut anything. Thankfully, I probably would have hurt myself. You know. And I can remember when I was cutting the grass and my son was following me with his lawnmower. Following his steps. Like a child. Hey, let's go. Let's take a walk. Hey, let's go. Let's go out. Let's go do some work in the shed. Let's go out back in the yard and do some work, and they follow along. Or let's go to the park or whatever. Follow in the steps. Jesus, the Bible says here, be follower like a child. You know, and I remember our kids. I don't remember which ones. I think Caleb may have been one of them for sure. But you know, when we follow God, there's blessings that come when we follow God. God wants us to follow Him and labor and serve Him. But God takes care of us. He gives us richly all things to enjoy. As a child follows God. As a child follows God, that's the example that He's giving. He's giving us an illustration. How does He give it to us? He says, and walk in love. Walk in love. As Christ, verse 2, also hath loved us. And hath given Himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Walk in love. We love others typically by cause. What does this mean? It means they do something that causes us to love them. But that's not the character trait that God wants to establish in us. Christ wants to establish in you and me the kind of love that He has for us that was completely without cause. I don't deserve His love, but He gives it to me over and over and over again. I wrote this down. Christ's love is automatic. It's automatic. It's not, let me see how you perform and then I'll let you know how I love you. Let me see how you are when you're around me and how you treat me, and then I'll decide if I love you or not, or I'll decide about how my love for you is. And while we may not voice that or even think that to that degree, there is some of that in all of us, me included, that our love is based on cause and effect. You know what I want? Not only do I want to be holy like Christ is holy, secondly, I want to love like Jesus Christ loves me. I don't want to just settle on love that is because of cause. I want to be willing to love someone that is absolutely unlovely. I don't know who that is. I want to love someone that hates me. You know, the Bible says, love your enemies. Do good to them that despitefully use you, and say all manner of evil against you falsely. It says we're supposed to do good to people that slander our names. You know, right now, I can tell you right now on this live stream, that is not easy to do. That is not in my nature. There isn't one little part of my nature, one little incy-bincy part of my nature that if someone slanders me, that I want to send them a Starbucks gift card and tell them how much I love them. Not one single bit. But the Bible says I'm to do good to those who despitefully. Now, I don't know anybody that's despitefully using me. That way I can save my Starbucks gift card for somebody else. But I'm just saying, no, love is should not be cause-based. This is a character trait that I'm seeking God to etch on my heart. That we would, as it says here, walk as He walked. Follow God as Christ loved me, so I love others. Number one, Jesus Christ is holy. Number two, Jesus Christ is love. Number three, go to 2 Corinthians 8. 2 Corinthians 8. We're going through some character traits of the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust that you're, as we're looking at these, some of them we've all looked at, I'm sure. Some of them you maybe are weak on than another different one. The idea here tonight is to say, God, I need to be more holy. Holy Spirit, please clean me up. I need to say no here, yes here. God, I need to be more loving. I need to love people for who they are, not who I want them to be. I need to love the lost. I need to love my family. I need to be a man of love. I need to be a woman of love. And not because my wife loves me, but because I'm loving her, because I want to love like Christ. I want to love my children. I want to love this person. I want to love the stranger. God, help me to be a man. Help me to be a woman. Help me to be a teenager. Help me to be a child that loves, not because of a cause, but just because God is working in and through me, and I want to love like Christ. And then we see in 2 Corinthians 8, 9, the Bible says, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. Go to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Jesus Christ is humble. He's humble. Luke chapter 2. Verse number 7, and she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. A place where animals would be, a place where animals would be eating out of, a place where it probably smelled rather ripe, as we say, a place where there would have been noises, I would think, and all kinds of things would have been happening, and it probably wasn't the most clean place. But here, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as we know, makes His humble entry into this great world. Look at chapter 9 of Luke. Chapter 9 of Luke. Luke 9, 58. Verse 57, and it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes. You ever seen a foxhole? Foxes have holes. I don't know if I've ever seen a foxhole. Maybe I did and I didn't know it was. Birds of the air have a nest. How many of you have ever seen a bird nest? I think that's a lot of us, right? Yeah, sure, bird nest, yeah. But the Son of Man hath not where to lay His head. And He said unto another, follow Me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. The point is this. Jesus said, you know, foxes have holes, birds have a nest, but I don't have a place to lay my head. He lived a life of humility. Did Jesus not have a place to sleep? No, He had places to sleep when it was time to sleep. The point He's making here is that we have far too many things in our life. Jesus said it's all about living simply so that others can simply live. Have you ever heard that? That's not original with me. Live simple as possible. I'm not the best example, okay? I'm not saying I am. We want to live simply so that others can simply live. We want to do everything we can to live in such a way that it's not about us, but it's about others. Joy, right? Jesus, others, and you. Look at John chapter 13, John's Gospel chapter 13. The very entrance of Jesus Christ into the world was in a very humble manner. He would go on living for 33 years in a very humble way. speaking to those who many would never speak to, caring for those who many would never care about, lepers, prostitutes, downtrodden, half Jew, half Gentile Samaritans. He was humble. That's what I want in my life. I want to be humble. I'm not what I ought to be in this way. Pride many times begins to rear its ugly head in my life. And you know what? I'm thankful to the Lord. And I'm not where I need to be, folks, but I want to say something right here. I'm thankful to the Lord that I'm beginning to recognize I've been saved for 38 years, okay? And I am in recent days beginning to recognize I can sense pride coming. You know, the Bible talks about, we talk about being green with envy. Really, that's pride. You know, someone gets something or something good happens in someone's life. And the Bible says we're to rejoice with those and we're to weep with those. And I have to battle this. Do you have to battle this? I have to battle this. Wanting to be number one, wanting to have whatever, wanting to do this, wanting to do that. No, it's not about me. It's not about you. It's not even about Anchor Baptist Church. It's about seeking a life of humility that gives honor and glory to our humble Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's discipline to do that. You don't discipline yourself. If I don't discipline myself, there's no way we're going to have the character trait of humility. Because that old man's going to get right in there and say, I want, I must have. It's got to be about me. John chapter 13, verse 14. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, what is this? It's humility. And that day they walked around in sandals, right? And that day they walked around in a dusty, dirty cities and towns and villages. In that day, it was very common when you came into someone's house that there would be water and a towel that would be ready because your feet, maybe they didn't smell too good, for one, but number two, they didn't look very good after being out in the dust for the day. There would be someone, maybe the master of the house or maybe a lady in the house or someone who would be there who would it was very humbling. I don't know if you've ever washed anybody's feet before. It's humbling enough to wash your own, but let alone to wash somebody else's. The symbolism here, though, I know there's a cultural thing that's going on here that isn't as common today as it was then. Even in some church settings over time, foot washing was very common. And I've never been a part of a church where foot washing was part of the procedure within the church. I'm not saying it's something that we need to have or we don't need to have. I'm just saying it just isn't very common anymore, and it never has been where I've been in church. The point, though, is this. Jesus said here, if I am your Lord, if I am the Master, if I am the King, right? And I'm willing to wash your feet. So Jesus is saying, I'm in charge, you know, I'm the Master. He wasn't seeking that. It was given to him by his Father. He was willing to set aside that, and he says, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. Notice verse 15, though, it's the theme really of our whole night. I hope you're catching it. For I have given you an example. We're talking about the characteristics. We're talking about the character traits of Jesus. But each one of these, there is an example that we can follow. And again, it isn't just, I'm Jesus, you could never do this. No, it's, I'm Jesus, I'm your Master, I'm your Lord. I'm willing to bend down and wash your smelly, dusty, dirty feet. So should you be willing to serve others. So should you be willing to serve one another. So should you be willing. Hey, so should you be willing to serve your wife, sir. I don't know the setup in your home, but many of your wives have to work. Some don't. Whatever. Praise the Lord for the situation in your home. But that doesn't mean because they don't punch a clock, they're not working. All of our wives work very hard. Your wife, sir, works very hard. Mine does. You know what? We don't have to always have the wife do the wife things, and we don't do any of the wife things. I don't know what that means to you, but I know what it means to me. Sometime I need to humble myself and say, you know what? I'm going to take care of this tonight. Now, if you burn toast, Don't volunteer to cook in your home, okay? Let your wife do that. Let your daughters do that, or let whoever else do that, okay? If you can't boil water, don't do it, all right? Please don't do that. And the rest of your family says, yes, thank you, Pastor. I appreciate that. What I'm saying is we can humble ourselves as men and do some of the things that our wife needs to do, does, and give her a break. Think about that. Jesus Christ entered humbly. He lived humbly. He exited humbly. Displayed on an old rugged cross. Didn't even look like a man after he'd taken that beating. He left humbly. But he's going to reign victoriously for all eternity. The Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You know what? I'm not there, but I want to live. I want that to be my care. I want to live humbly. I want to live holy. Separate from the world unto Christ. I want to live in a loving way. Not because someone has caused me to love them, but because Christ is working in it. I want to live humbly. Not so I can, because that's false humility, but so that God can receive more glory and people can be encouraged. One more. Look at Luke 6. One more, Luke 6. Jesus Christ prays. He prays. Why does Jesus Christ, the Son of God, need to pray? He's the Son of God. It's the same reason why he washed the disciples' feet. It's the same reason why he loved the unlovely. Because we needed an example to follow. Look at what it says in Luke 6:12. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to what? Pray. He's about to make some pretty important decisions. What are they? He's going to choose the disciples. Now, we're not choosing disciples. We're not choosing things like that. But how many of us in 2020, we had to make decisions? We had to choose this or choose that. And I'm just saying, I wonder how many times we don't give even 5 minutes to prayer before we're going to make a decision about this or about that. Jesus prayed all night. Is he God? Yes or no? Yes, he's God. Does he really need to pray for himself? Not really. He's God. He already knew who the disciples were going to be. But when I read this, I say, if that's an example I need to follow. This is a character trait. This is etched in as we read about Jesus Christ getting up early in the morning and praying, working all day, praying at night, praying all night. And he continued all night in prayer. When it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose. And there you go, he chose. He prayed. Look back to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. Mark 1:35, the Bible says, and morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place. And there, prayed. Prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. And he said unto them, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also. Do you see the order? Solitary place, praying. Then what? Then came the preaching. That's an example that I want to follow. Now, you don't have, that's not just for pastors. That's not just for people that are preaching. Every day you're preaching. Every day you're setting an example. If I'm going to set the example that God wants me to set, I've got to put it in the right order. Let's follow the order of the Savior. What does he do? He prays and then he preaches. Divine order. Let us go into the towns that I may preach there, for therefore came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. The point is, in the morning, a great while before day, here's the character trait. Here's what's etched in. Here's what we need to follow. Jesus Christ prays. One more passage, John 6. John 6. John 6 and verse 15. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again. Notice that word again. He's done this before, right? Into a mountain himself alone. Now, you know, many of you, there might be many people today that are listening, and you're able to be alone greater than someone else. That's not what we're trying to do right now, is determine whether we like or don't like it. The point is, this was a common occurrence, or at least it wasn't just this only time, that Jesus pulled away and got alone in a mountain, in a solitary place, in the morning, all night long, whatever it took, wherever God would call and lead. Jesus Christ, one of his character traits was, one of his character qualities was, he prayed. Think about it. This is the Son of God. Again, I firmly believe that he is like this. God, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is like this, setting an example that we can follow. I say it one more time. I want to pray like this. I want to pray like Jesus. I can, if I want, if I choose to. If I yield myself to the Lord, I can. You know how this happens? This happens, we're not going to turn there, but this happens in our life when we allow the Holy Spirit of God, when we allow the Holy Spirit of God to fill us. How does this happen? He produces fruit in our life. The Bible calls it the fruit of the Spirit. It's kind of a ninefold fruit, really. We're not going to cover the fruit of the Spirit because our time is done. But Galatians 5, 22 and 23. As I yield to the Holy Spirit of God, then I have the true character that is that this fruit produces in my life. His character can be formed in me. His character can be seen in me. His character can flow out of me. Jesus Christ, holy. Do you have a desire to live a holy life? We're going to have to say no to the flesh. We're going to have to say no to the world, but we can with the Holy Spirit's help. We can live a holy life. Jesus Christ loved and loves. Do you want to love people not because they love you, but just because God is love? It can happen. The Holy Spirit of God can help you to love people. He can help you to love people that hate you. That's how Jesus was. That's what he said from the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus Christ was a man of humility. You need to humble yourself. Maybe you need to go to your wife, sir. Maybe you need to go to your husband, ma'am. Maybe you need to go to your children. I don't know. Maybe you need to go to someone and just say, I'm sorry about something. You've done something. You know you've done it. And it wasn't humble at all. It was pride that did it. Pride that caused you to do it. You need to go to them sooner than later. In fact, if before you go to bed would be good, especially if it's somebody in your family, and just say, you know what, I'm sorry. Would you forgive me for, that was not right. See, someone who's humble is willing to admit that when they're wrong. Someone that's full of themselves has never done anything wrong. It's always somebody else's fault. That's a whole other message. And then lastly, Jesus Christ prays. All four of these are, and there's many, many more, but all four of these are character of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go back. I said last verse, but let's go back to the first verse we read. Can we do that? 1 John 2. 1 John 2. He, verse 6, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. You can follow in his steps. Holiness, humility, love, prayer. He's our master. He's our Lord. Let's follow in his steps. Let's follow his direction.